present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Thank you, and welcome to the ninth programme in this series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. And as regular listeners will know, we've reached the stage where we're down to just two teams, and they'll be battling today for the chance to meet each other in the final next week. They are representing Land's End and Potter's Bar, William Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And representing Wembley Park and all stations to Stanmore, Barry Cryer and Graham Dart. A recent London flop was said by one critic to leave the British musical still floundering at the foot of the table. Presumably he knew what he was talking about. In this, our first round, the teams are invited to come up with their own ideas for a typical British musical. And we'll start with you, Barry Cryer.
British musical. Hello, Dollis Hill. More musical bent. Oh, Cahampton. With hit songs in it. Surrey with the fringe on top. Oh, what a beautiful Mornington Crescent. Very Tory folk should stick together.
Willie.
I was thinking of doing a Cyril Lord story, but I couldn't think of any carpet jokes.
Or you could. Go on.
No, I can't. So I thought Dennis Hull was a possible for a musical.
Definitely.
Called Anyone for Dennis and have things like the Ref song. Or I'm Singing in the Drought. It ends up an exciting moment when he does the anniversary vault. I couldn't think of anything else.
Right, Grendon.
Howell's Things in Glockamora.
Howells of Mirth.
That's why he walks like that, I think.
Singing in the Drought was funny. How about one about our... After the King and I, you've got to have one about our royal family, My Husband and I.
Excellent.
Songs like Hello, Young Horses. And Shall We Prance? And The March of Master Peter Phillips. Things like that.
Getting to Jump You.
No.
On a clear round, you can see forever.
We kiss in the stables.
Nay.
Your turn, Tim Brooke Taylor.
Well, I thought the recent bread strike would be a good subject for a British musical. They're all disconnected in little pieces, so I thought I'd call it Crumbs. And there are songs like... Loaf is a many splendid thing. Now, what else have they got? All the girls in the bread the factory, they stand around the drum where the flour is, so that they can sing the flour drum song.
Mother's pride has been handed down to
which is the hit song from this musical. Maybe that.
Hostess with the toastest.
Once I had a secret loaf. Crust
right.
In me.
The bun in the oven. That's the
Tim Brooke Taylor wins that round, and this is where I... this is where I tell you, teams, that you've got to be thinking from now on of your late arrivals for the musicians' ball. The late arrivals at the musicians' ball. We'll come to that at the end. And now, by one of those happy coincidences, we're going to have a musical round. Teams, I want you to sing a snatch of grand opera from a selected passage which I'll give you, and it will be accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. And for this season at Glyndebourne, Graham and Barry, I want you to sing mother-in-law jokes.
I missed the train.
I won't say my mother-in-law's fat, but when my father-in-law carried her over the threshold, he had to make two trips.
I riposte. I won't say that my mother-in-law is fat, but she once fell on the floor and rocked herself to sleep trying to get up.
It's amazing how far the human skin will stretch.
True, true.
I won't see my mother-in-law's fat butt. You should see her fat butt. But when she walks down the street, the weighing machines jump back into the doorway.
And when she sits around the house, she really sits around the house. But I digress.
You're not wrong, Squire.
I won't say my mother-in-law is fat, but her vital statistics are 73.
You astound me.
58.
You are putting me on.
109.
Enough!
And that's only one leg.
Off.
There can be no two ways about it.
I catch your drift. She's fat. 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 Yes.
That's the first time we've had a standing ovation on this programme.
He's sat down again now.
What's the next round?
It's you, William Tim, have got to sing an opera. You're not going to get out of it as easily as that. Although,
do you take money?
Your operatic theme has a utilitarian purpose for our listeners at home to take notes. I want you to sing the radio wavelength changes.
At dictation speed.
On the 23rd of November 1978, a new international frequency agreement comes into force.
Get away. Most listeners will have to tune to different points on the dial to receive these programs.
But in many cases, the standard of reception will be better. Ho, ho, ho. New tuning positions.
After the 23rd of November 1978, listeners will still be able to tune to familiar positions on the dial.
But in most cases, these positions will provide different services. T, T, T.
Where listeners now get Radio 1.
After November 1978, they will get Radio 3.
Radio 2.
Will be Radio 4.
Radio 3.
Open brackets, this frequency will be used for the BBC's external services. Close brackets.
Radio 4.
Radio 2.
Radio 4.
Radio 2.
Radio 1. External services, 1088 kilohertz, 276 meters. Confusing, isn't it? One more time.
Daring.
Radio 1.
Radio 3.
Radio 2.
Radio 4.
Radio 3.
BBC's external services.
Radio 4.
Radio 2.
Radio 4.
Radio 2.
Radio 1. External services.
But maps will be provided.
Well, Tim and Willie are proving absolutely unstoppable in this game. That puts them more points ahead. And now we have one of my favourite rounds, the ad lib poem. And I know all the team agrees with me that this is the high spot of any show, except this one. Now, teams are going to make up a poem. Each team member must keep going until I press the buzzer. And then a member of the opposing team takes over with the next line. This goes on until we reach a natural artistic conclusion. And the first line of the poem, which is going to be started now by Graham Garden, is this. Chewing gum, Indian ink, rubber goods and porridge. Take it up from there.
Chewing gum, Indian ink, rubber goods and porridge. Does it have to rhyme?
Does what have to rhyme?
Porridge.
Not necessarily.
Chewing gum, Indian ink, rubber goods and porridge. We're all considered Very Nice by Arthur Stanley Coridge. The Corridges, they lived in Penge, a most suburban lot.
They were the toast of the neighbourhood because of their cooking pot. This pot would be boiling on the stove all day long, it would.
Their cooking was extensive, but it wasn't very good. Their stew defied belief, it did. Their mash would make you run.
Containing, as it did, the ink, rubber goods, porridge and gum.
Yeah, I think we'll conclude that one there, because I think it actually made an absolutely perfect poem, so that gives us time to do another one. And we're going to start this one with you.
That'll teach us.
With you. Timbrook Taylor, will you take this one?
Oh, no.
This one begins, "The story I'm about to tell has very little merit."
Weasel jokes.
Yeah.
"The story I'm about to tell has very little merit. It just goes... just like a little ferret." Now, when I said it had no merit, this wasn't really true.
Because it had a singular gift. It could play the kazoo. This ferret in a pub at night... would rouse such cheers and shouts...
that even reverend gentlemen were given to grave doubts.
Even?
"Do I believe in God," they cried, "when I see this tiny beast?"
"Do I believe in half a God, a quarter at the least?" And contemplating these grave facts along with original sin, they thought, how many ferrets can sit upon the head of a pin? "We'll try it out," they cried at once, donning their vestments fine.
You should see the sparkle there. You should see the shine. For they were ferret lovers bold. With great awe. And that it will explain a lot, you see, why they would give them to the poor. The scansion's gone, you probably noticed, in this poem strong.
But I shall try and restore it, ere very long. We were in a pub with a ferret and several clerical gents. You may think this poem is not making very much sense, but wait, I promise you, if you've lost faith in our rhyme.
How do you feel with a ferret down your trousers playing the kazoo all the time?
Right, yes. Willie Rushton wins that round. And we go on to a round called Initials Round. I'm going to read each team some abbreviations, some initials, and they must tell me what they think each stands for. And then I shall give them the right answer if by any chance it differs from what they've said. Willie Rushton, we'll start with you as you won the last round. And your initials I want you to identify are S-P-C-K.
Spitting porridge can kill. It's a health warning put out by the government. Yeah. On Quaker Oats packets.
But it doesn't look as though you're likely to win this round, because that was the Society for Promoting Christian Knowledge.
You nearly said preventing then, didn't you?
Barry Cryer, I'm going to go over to you now. Mm-hmm. No Sopex, because they always call these names by their onomatopoeic sound. N-O-S-O-P-E-X. Identify that, please. N-O-S-O-P-E-X.
M-O-U-S-E-X.
Sorry. It's no Sopex, please, we're British.
OPEC is the Arab oil-producing countries, isn't it?
Yes.
What's that got
to do with it? Well, no Sopex is the Jewish oil. just a little joke, all listeners. the National... Organised Society for the Orderly Preservation of Extinct Xylophones.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. For stamina. If only for stamina.
That is right, actually. You could have also said the Northern Sumatra Offshore Petroleum Exploration.
Oh, we could have all said that.
Oh, we could all. They all
and it would have been funnier.
I suppose we weren't asked to sing it.
Timbrook Taylor.
Yeah, sing it.
Here's one that you might know. This one looks a bit easy to me, but I don't know. It's Bupa, B-U-P-A.
Buried under piles of aerosols. I've cleaned that up, too. It is the British United Provident Association, something like that. British, I know it's that one where they don't give you enough money when you're ill. I don't mean it. I've paid my subscription. Isn't it British United Provident? Is it something like
very
that?
Very nearly. It's the British United Providence Association. So I'll only dock you 10 marks.
If Bupa combined with the Department of Offshore Pollution, the DOOP, they'd be Bupa Doop. But they
which
probably
is quite,
won't.
It's rather similar to your one now. Your initials are FRP, which is FHPRP. FHPRP.
It's the Faith Healers Protection Racket Practitioners. They're the boys who come round and lay on hands.
And he's not very pleased about that.
But he makes that noise.
Well, it's not, actually.
Oh, it's
the
not?
The Foreign Hotel Proprietors Rebuilding Programme.
Well, you've got one word right. You're in the wrong place. It's the Family Housing Programme Review Panel. Barry.
Oh,
yours
nice.
Is H-G-O-A.
H-G-O-A. Hang gliding for the old and arthritic. Oh, dear. I withdraw that. I'm so near to it. I withdraw.
You're not arthritic.
I'm going to tell you. It's the Houston Grand Opera Association.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is.
And the week's good calls from now from Graham Garden. Yours is WVS.
WVS. It stands for the Association of Bad Spellers. The Royal and Ancient Order of Water Vole Stranglers.
Well, I suppose, yes, I suppose it is. Right, we go on now to...
What is it really, Hum?
It's the Women's Voluntary Service.
Oh, Lord.
There.
I suppose right.
Even better.
They knitted us an Anderson shelter once.
Once again, it's time to play that popular game, Mornington Crescent. And teams...
Ah!
This week, teams, the bidding must be conducted in the order F, J, O and W.
Oh, great.
You better jot that down.
F-J-O-W.
F-J-O-W.
Is that the same round? Oh, sorry, no.
Let's start now with Timbrook Taylor.
Oh. Lonsdale Road.
Finchley Road.
Graham, you're not after me.
You bid in the wrong order.
I'm not one to gossip.
Here he goes again.
I'm sorry, I was too eager to jump.
Finchley Road.
St. John's Wood High Street.
The Vale.
I'm surprised you didn't challenge that.
Hendon Way. No, it's all right.
It's all right, you're going to let it go.
Yeah, let it go, because it'll pay off later.
Sorry.
Tim's challenged himself. Yeah.
The Vale didn't have an F, J, O or W in it, did it?
It doesn't have to there.
Oh, come on.
It doesn't.
No, it was above the line.
All right. A Hampstead Garden suburb, yes, I take the point.
Any advance on Hampstead Garden? It's you.
There's no way out.
Parliament Hill.
Oh, there is a way out. I know a lot of people that live there that don't think there's a way out.
Willie?
Play safe, Battersea Park.
Oh, Wimpole Street.
Good lad.
Ah.
Upper Wimpole Street.
Lower Wimpole Street.
Oh, it's a one-way. Hang on.
I got the J. Yes, yeah. I got the J.
Willie.
Three J's.
And Willie Weston wins.
So there's three. Were there three? Sorry.
Right, and that puts you ahead. Now we have a round which is has the subtle title of Playing Tunes on the Instruments You Can't Play. No comment from the team, please. One team will play a well-known tune on the Swanee whistle and the others will have to try to identify it. And Tim and Willie, you're going to begin this one. Mm. And Graham and Barry, that means that you have to identify it. Swanee whistles at the ready. And Tim and Willie, what are you going to play? Let's stop them in their tracks.
They've got to guess it, haven't they?
That's right.
I nearly fell for that.
We could give the title and then it can guess whether we're playing or not.
Okay,
here we go. I'm just trying to shorten the damn thing.
A one, two, three, four.
Nurse, he's out of bed again. Swanwich? No.
Swanwich.
Place name.
Asia.
Everybody in the audience knew it.
Yeah, they all knew it.
Some were dancing to it.
Everyone in the audience sing it.
They were you passed those pieces of paper around earlier.
Oh, America.
Too good.
America.
Yes.
America.
Oh.
Would you like to play it properly, Colin?
Nothing like
That's
it.
Enough.
Nothing like it.
Right.
Right.
See, it wasn't easy.
Now, Graham and Barry, it's your turn. I could ask the audience not to give any help.
One, two, three, four.
The editor of the Times, dear sir, I've just heard the first chicken.
Talking to a Martian.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest cheat I've ever heard.
Nobody does it better, played very badly.
What did you think it was, Tim?
James Bond.
I don't know the name, I'm afraid. It's the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da song.
Think of James Bond.
Goldfinger.
Well, it's called The Hot Canary, and that brings us to the round.
Sean Canary. That's time to help you.
Right. That leads us logically to the round in which I ask the teams to announce their late arrivals for the musicians' ball. The musicians' ball teams.
Oh, will you welcome? There's come a long way. Wilhelm. Wilhelm Furt Angler and his eel Trovatore.
You started with that one.
I'll do it again later.
You welcome, please, Bill Oddie and his son Mel Oddie.
Oh.
Welcome, please.
Yes,
all the way from Sweden.
Oh, Sweden. Oh.
Mr. and Mrs. Knight of the Proms, and their son Lars, Knight of the Proms.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Tone and their son Barry Tone, and his man, Dolin, who is also a bit of a liar. I just thought I'd say that.
He's good for a laugh, old Tim Panelli.
Will you welcome from Ireland, please, the O'Lynns, please, Mr. and Mrs. O'Lynn and their daughter Vi O'Lynn. Mandy Lynn's back.
Mr. and Mrs., will you welcome, please, suspend your disbelief for the arrival of
Certainly.
Mr. and Mrs. Harmonic Orchestra and their son Phil Harmonic Orchestra. And Albert Hall.
Oh, here's Johann Sebastian Bach with the first of the fugue. Just flying in. He's known as Offenbach because he likes a bit of scherzo.
Two lunatic sisters.
Thank you.
Claire de Lune and Mandy Lune.
Yes, bring her back.
Accompanied by Charles Forty and his piano.
And choral symphony.
Mr.
and Mrs. Crossing the doorway. A double booking. Carry on, Graham.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Yube and their son, the pornographer, the Blue Dan Yube.
That musical revolutionary Che Umba music.
Mr. and Mrs. Dante and the virginal Anne Dante and her cat gut. Mr. and Mrs. On and their daughter Eunice On.
Sousaphone. And while we're at it, why won't you welcome, and before you can think of an excuse, here she is, Mr. and Mrs. Raboom, and their daughter, the district attorney, Tara Raboom, D.A. And indeed, Mr. and Mrs. Bumps-a-Daisy, and their son, Hans Bumps-a-Daisy. You know, there's Hans' niece, Anne Bumps-a-Daisy. Mr. and Mrs. Uendo and their rather stupid son, Dim Ian Uendo.
Mr. and Mrs. Stir and their rather taller son, known as the higher Reggie Stir. And Des Kant.
Oh, yeah.
Not what I'd heard.
Oh, he was with me.
That is what I'd heard.
Leaving the teams busily scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, staggering in, Humph. Old Pizzicato and Ante.
A Yuletide visitor, Christmas Carol.
Well, I always say it's nice to end the programme on a good groan, so let's say...
Always leave them shouting for less.
Let's say from all of us this week, goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Lyttelton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Geoffrey Perkins.